And good evening from beautiful Florence, Kentucky, home of Turfway Park. This is Andy Villanueva, and this is episode number 2 of the Live and Breathe Horse Racing Facebook podcast and part of the new Live and Breathe Horse Racing Podcast Network, which hopefully takes off, and we have a number of people hopefully that begin to start being part of this. This is going to be kind of a two-part deal. It might be a little longer than the first episode, but I after driving from Atlanta to Kentucky yesterday, I had a lot of time to think, and then today, after doing a bunch of racing stuff and talking with some people, I decided that it might be a good idea to kind of break this down. So this is kind of like the rundown. The first, hopefully, 5 to 7 minutes, it's going to be strictly for the newbies, the novices, the ones that don't go to the track very often. Then the next few minutes after that, I think I'm going to put it toward like the middle of the road people, the people that basically most people are part of, and that's the weekend warriors, the ones that go to the track once in a while, and the ones that have decided that they want to try to dabble in this as a living but haven't completely made the commitment to do it, or may not have enough time to do it because they actually have real jobs, unlike myself, who just sit in front of a computer, handicap all day, and make stupid bets like I did today at Parks and Sam Houston. And then the last couple minutes, I think I want to kind of talk to the people that do this almost every single day, because there's certain things that I look for, and there was a question made, and I think I want to answer it. So when we get to that, we'll discuss it. But let's go first to the beginning, or to the newbies, the novices, the people that are first up. And I know for a fact, me being a former newbie novice, my biggest fear or biggest concern at the time was, how much money am I already losing the moment I go to the racetrack? At the time, when I used to go when I was younger, and you know, I'm a fossil nowadays, I used to be able to park at Santa Anita Mall and just walk, so I'd save myself $5 for parking or $3 for parking for whatever it was. And then once I ended up getting a CHRB license, it was free. So I don't think I ever paid for parking at Santa Anita up until a few years ago when I started going during the weeks. And I think that's ridiculous that you have to pay for parking, but it is what it is. So I was already down $3 to $5. So I was never down $3 to $5, but some newbies, some novices, they're already down $3 to $5. Now I don't know how much it is, but it might be more. Then you have to pay to get in. Now, Turfway Park, don't have to pay to get in. Sam Houston, you don't have to pay to get in on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You do have to pay on Fridays and Saturdays. But the best thing about Fridays and Saturdays is that as long as you bet at least $250 with your parks card, and we'll get to that in a second for you newbies and novices, you actually get in for free because they give you the black card, which is really cool because it is awesome. So I never pay to get into Sam Houston. I don't pay for parking. I don't pay for anything. It's awesome as far as that's concerned. You don't pay at Turfway Park. I have never had to pay at Keeneland, but that's because I get a journalistic pass on that one. Same thing with Churchill Downs. Belterra, you don't have to pay. You walk right in, you're right at the racetrack. I mean, there are all these. Hawthorne is the same way unless you want to go into the clubhouse. So these are things that you save money on. Santa Anita doesn't understand that, and I don't understand why they don't understand that. But when you have to pay $7 to maybe $12 just to get in, possibly be in the clubhouse, which I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a novice or a newbie, you do not need the clubhouse. Just get the regular stuff and be amongst the crowd, because the best part about this game is being amongst the crowd, being with the railbirds and the apron. And when I started, it used to be awesome because I used to have 5 or 6 friends or people that I met at the racetrack that we'd all get together on Friday and Saturdays and hang out, or Saturdays and Sundays, and just hang out all day at the track. It was so cool. And now you'll get lucky if you see 1 or 2 people on a regular basis, unless, you know, you go every single day. But getting back to my point, as I digress on that, the one big thing is I've already spent, if I go to Santa Anita, anywhere from $17 to $20 just to walk in the gates before I've bought a program, before I bought a newspaper, because if I'm a newbie or I'm a novice, I'm not going to buy the racing form because it's all Greek to me, because I know it was to me. I'm not going to download PPs off of any sort of site because they would all be too confusing. I'm not going to buy Thorograph. I'm not going to buy Ragazin. I'm not going to buy any of that. I'm just going to get the program because that's what I used to do. And I'm hoping the newbies and the novices do that until they feel comfortable enough to think that they're going to make a little money and have fun. So with that said, you walk in. How can I save money at these tracks? This is the one thing that I learned really quickly, and they did not have rewards at the time, and I wish they did. But for Santa Anita, I think they still have the Thoroughbreds card. Somebody can post on the message on this thread whether or not it actually still exists or not. I don't know with you know, everything going on, but I'm hoping it does. And it's a great value because I think they give you discounts as far as parking and as far as, you know, entry to the racetrack and all that. So that's a positive. So you save a little money there. So out the door, you're down $22. So you basically have to make $22 before you eat. You basically have to make back $22 before you eat, before you drink, before anything. Now, if you're out there to have fun as a newbie or a novice, that's great. You already knew you were going to lose that money. Not a big deal. If you're a middle-of-the-road type person or a weekend warrior that wants to make an additional kind of extra bucks here and there because, you know, you want to be able to take your girlfriend out to a nice sushi dinner or your wife or your boyfriend, then, you know, you're going to need to make money. And so with that said, as far as the newbies are concerned, I think the biggest concern for new people at the racetrack is the fact that they end up having to figure out all the lingo as far as the betting lingo. And I think it's really funny. I have a story that I can use as far as this is concerned. When I was at Sam Houston a few weeks ago, I ended up doing something to where I rattled off a bet. I think it was 20 win play show on the three, $5 exacta box, 1, 3, 6, 5. And then I think I did like a trifecta and a superfecta. And it was just a bunch of numbers to this lady that was brand new to the game. And she just looked at me kind of cross-eyed and said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Is this your first time?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, so the only thing you really want to be concerned about right now is A, have fun," because that's always my mantra when it comes to this game. Regardless if you lose, you should always be having fun. "And two, just worry about win, play, show for now." And so win, play, show. Win, top spot. Place, you win or you finish second, you get the money for place. Show, you win, you finish second, you finish third, you get the money. If you finish third, you get the money. So basically, those are three ways you can make some money. Now, here's where I'm going to bring in the weekend warriors, because the weekend warriors are more familiar with the win play show. They play a little bit bigger on the win play show. And I don't know how many of the weekend warriors actually are aware of how the breakdown is, how the takeout is. One day I'm actually going to just break down the takeout for all the racetracks and tell you why certain bets are good and why certain bets aren't. But not today. But getting back to it, the weekend warriors, when I first went to the racetrack, I used to be like, "Oh, 5-1 is a great value." And then I'd go to the window and I bet the 5-1, and he'd run second and I had him to win, and I'd be like all bummed. And then I'd look at, and then the place pool at the time, I wasn't really paying attention to the pools. And I used to see like $8 place money, and I'm like, why is that happening? Well, some of the weekend warriors may not understand how that works, but the pools, the way they are, it all changes. It all depends. You basically have a horse that may be 8-5 or 2-1 and is a favorite, but he may be the third or fourth choice to finish second or third. And it happens. There was a horse today at Sam Houston Race Park that went off at 9-2. I was late getting to the windows. He ends up winning, but he pays $12.80 to win, but he only pays $4.80 to place and $2.80 to show. And I didn't see the pools as far as it's concerned, but based on those numbers, I'm going to venture to guess that he was probably the second or third choice in the pools, but he was the third or fourth choice as far as the wagers are concerned. So you have to be when you're a weekend warrior, the best way to make money is to look at the pools. And if you like two horses and you want to bet across the board and you see one that's 7-2 and is the third betting choice, but the sixth place choice and the sixth show choice, maybe look at another horse that you might like that may be 5-2, but is actually the fourth betting choice in the pools or the shows. Because if he wins, you're going to get a really good rate of return on your place and show bets. Whereas if you have a favorite, or let's say the sixth betting choice and he's a second favorite for place or show, then all of a sudden, you're not going to make the same amount of money. You want to be able to make money when you're betting across the board, especially if you're a weekend warrior. So that's where the weekend warrior little diatribe comes in as far as everyone's concerned. And I know that doesn't sound right. And, you know, hopefully I'm making some sort of sense, but I'm trying to keep this kind of condensed as far as a podcast is concerned, because it's important for, I think, me to try to hit on everything as far as every single person is concerned and every single like group. I don't like putting people into groups, but there are groups, and weekend warriors and the people that are pretty much the basis of everything that goes on at the racetrack. Because without the weekend warriors and without those people that bet a minimal amount every single day, or possibly just do this for fun, without them, there probably wouldn't be a lot of money churning through the racetrack at all. So, you know, the big whales or the people that bet every single day, they're a little different. They have their own set of circumstances or whatever as far as it goes for how the racetrack is, how I view it. And the newbies, obviously, we need to win them over. And so if they see people not having a good time at the racetrack, then they're going to be like, why do I want to do that? Which actually brings me to another situation. When you are at the racetrack, especially Santa Anita, don't worry about what people look like. Don't worry about how they dress. Don't worry about whether or not they, you know, are smoking like 10 cigarettes all at the same time. It's just the racetrack. Enjoy the environment. My wife hates it. I'm the first one to admit that my wife absolutely loses her mind when she has to walk through the grandstand, because she just cannot stand the fact that I'm a part of that. And even though I don't come from a racing background, but have been around it for a long time, it doesn't faze me. Whereas with her, even though she went to Manor Downs when she was younger, it's still a culture shock to her to do it. She can deal with casinos, but she can't deal with racetracks, which I don't understand. Me personally, I love it. It's a great environment. It's fun. The best part is that if you sit in the right spots, or if you sit somewhere near certain people, you're going to get some really funny and great stories. And you're going to go, oh my gosh, I remember that day that I was at Santa Anita and I was talking to so-and-so, and Gary Stevens walked by and the guy was talking about the day when a girl jockey ended up punching him in the face after a race because he had made a comment to her, which actually happened. It was my sister that did it. they did not like each other. They still don't. I always thought that was a funny thing when somebody would go, man, there was a time, and I'm like, are you talking about the Gary Stevens deal? And they're like, yeah, how do you know about it? I'm like, I've heard you tell that story like 4 times, and I still think it's funny. He still to this day does not know that that's my sister. But getting back to this, we're going to talk about us. So as far as that's concerned, I know I'm kind of like all over the place today because it's late, and there's no excuse, actually. And I've had to handicap like 6 tracks, but still no excuse. I'm just excited. I'm excited about this podcast. I'm excited about what we can do to build this game. So that's why I'm kind of all over the place today. And I'm human. I think as far as the Weekend Warriors are concerned, you guys are pretty good at everything that you guys do as far as, you know, what you guys know your strengths and weaknesses are. And getting back to a comment that was, so tomorrow or the next day when I decide to do another podcast, it'll either be every day or every other day. But I know for a fact, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, I will definitely put one out because I think it's important during those days because those are big day race days. And plus, I also have a commitment to put one, to at least make a phone call to a radio show to do it. So I might as well just give out the information here. But I think as far as the old guard or the ones that have been doing it a long time, there was a question that came up, and I think it was Corey the dog or something like that, that basically asked how far back in the past performances you go. And I will be the first one to answer that I go back all the way to their first start. And people are like, well, you got to take the first 3 or 4 races. Yeah, you do. I agree. I'm not denying that. But for me, because I do have Stats Race Lens and the product that they put out is such a fabulous product, and it coincides with the website that I work on. For me, being a serious gambler, it's very, very, very awesome to be able to go back and look at every single race. Because if I can go back and see something that I may not have seen just off the first 10 races, then that would be really concerning for me. There's a horse that's running tomorrow at Gulfstream Park that's only had 2 races at 7 furlongs. And luckily, both of them are showing up in the PPs. He's never been worse than 2nd in both races. And it's in the same condition he's running at today, or one was a maiden race. So to me, that tells me that that horse may not want to go a mile. That horse may not like 6 furlongs, but he loves 7 furlongs. And if that horse had been running 40 times, and let's say he's got 2 races or 3 races at that distance, and he's in the money in all 3, I want to see who they're racing against. Because a perfect example is there's a race tomorrow where Oscar Blues is in, and I think it may be the 1st or 2nd race. And he gets bet heavily all the time because of his back class. But if you look back, he really was never in any of those races. But yet he still gets bet because he was in the Bluegrass Stakes, and he was running against optional 75s. So I want to look back at other horses that may fit in that condition and go, well, this horse, you know, 3 years ago did the same thing, but he's still in this condition, but he runs well at this distance. So yeah, I go back further because I need to see certain things. There's patterns that develop as far as horses that have been running longer. So, you know, their speed figures, whether it's Breezenet, Thoroughgraph, Ragazin, I know I'm missing one, Equibase, to some extent, the buyer speed figures, but I think the buyer speed figures are a complete joke because, and I'll get into that one day too, but I think basically I look at patterns a lot of times when it comes to horses that have been running a long time. So if I see a horse that basically has gone, that's raced 25 times, and you see a pattern of low figure, improving figure, huge figure, and then the next one is a low figure, and then you see the same type of pattern, and it develops over time where it continues to do, continues to happen like that, and they're dropping in class, then to me that tells me that that horse is either sitting on a bigger race, or it's possible, especially mares, that they're digressing. So just something to look at. I know that everybody has their ways, but just giving you a little bit more insight as to what I think sometimes, because I would love everybody to win and have fun and have a great time. And I know cashing a ticket is having fun. I had a great time today, even though I lost every single bet I made. So I'm not perfect. I wish I would have gotten to the first race, and then I would have been playing with everybody else's money, but I didn't. Hopefully we'll have a podcast tomorrow. I have to go into Indianapolis to talk to a client. If I get back in time after I do all my racing analysis for some of the tracks, I'll be more than happy to put up a lesser podcast time, because I think I'm hitting almost 20 minutes. But I apologize again for going all over the place. I think it was a huge mistake to try to lump three different groups together and confuse everybody, but I hope somebody got something out of everything, and I hope you guys watch and listen. Hopefully, I'm waiting for Apple and Spotify to finally say, dude's got a podcast, we gotta listen, you guys gotta listen. And then once they do get there, then I'm really, really going to become a beggar, and I'm going to ask you guys to basically subscribe, rate, review, and then subscribe, rate, review. So basically, I'm going to ask you guys to do it twice. So you guys are going to rate, subscribe, review the first time, then unsubscribe, and then you guys are going to rate, and then don't review, just keep it on. And then hopefully all the time you guys will get a notification that there's a podcast for Apple or Spotify. Try to do something with SoundCloud. And I apologize for the music. I was just in a really, really weird mood and wanting to listen to some Old Dominion. But with that, have a wonderful day tomorrow. Have fun at the races. Try to make it a winning one. But most importantly, go out, have fun, be merry. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the fact that you get to watch some of the great, you get to do something that most people only dream of, and that's play the races. Have a good night, and I will hopefully talk to you guys in the next couple days.